Okay, so the Gemara says over here, Nid Alpha and Beis, again, searching for a source for the concept of Roiv. So the Gemara says, where are we? Rav Kahana Omar, maybe 10 lines from the top of Alpha and Beis. Asmei Harigas HaNefesh, let's derive it from a person who kills somebody else, who's put to death. Amar Achmana Katlai, the Torah says to put him to death. Maybe he's a Trefa. I have a few things we want to touch on, but let's just get to the end of the Gemara. If he's a treifa, you're not chayv misa for killing him. So how do we know? Maybe how can we ever put anybody to death? Don't we have to be afraid? Maybe he was a treifa. Must be. We assume that roiv people are not treifas, and therefore we can follow the roiv and even administer misa's bezin based on this roiv. We discussed the last time how can we follow roiv when it comes to nefashis, and we distinguished between two different types of roivs by nefashis, if you remember. Well, 1 minute, maybe you checked him. Meaning maybe you did an autopsy, and we saw, how come invo? How can you do an autopsy? You're violating nivo ames. Maybe because of pikuach nefesh or somebody else, we'll do nivo ames on the corpse. But won't be conclusive, because even if we'll do a proper autopsy and we won't find any treifas, maybe the treifa was in the place where the bullet wound was or the stab wound was that killed him. Ravina Amar Asim Eidim Zaimim. So let's derive from Eidim Zaimim. Damar Achmanav Asisim Wakashu Zomam. You have to administer whatever punishment the Eidim sought to administer to the victim. That's what we visit upon the Eidim Zaimim, the Eidim who are found out to be false witnesses. But how can we ever do that? Maybe the person that gave testimony about was a treifa, and therefore, how can we ever punish the witnesses? We waited for you. We were about to wait for you, and then Benji said, "Don't wait for him." That's what happened. Elav mishum damin and zil basaruba. I'm joking. Elav mishum damin and zil basaruba. Must be we follow the river. He tamed about kinongay. No, maybe let's check the let's check it out. Let's find out whether the treif is enough. Atan brebi yomar lohargu neharogan. We can't check live people. Do an autopsy on live people. Must be they're dead. If they're dead, meaning if they already carried out their testimony. So then there's no Eidim Zomim, we don't say Kasher Zomim in the first place. If you already carried out Kasher Zomim, if they already carried out their testimony, already got to a conclusion, we don't then punish them with Kasher Zomim, Lasas Leochiv. Once their testimony has already been carried out, there's no more Kasher Zomim. It's only if they attempted to do it, harm in the case of Eidim Zomim is worse than if they actually brought the harm onto somebody else. Rav Ashi Yomar Asim Yishchita Atzma. Let's derive from Shchita itself. Dam Rachmanu Shchait VeEcho. You can shecht an animal and eat it. How can you know that? How can you do that? V'Leich Hashem V'Makom Lokav Shachat. Maybe in the place where you shechted the animal already had a defect. Or Rav Mishum Darmin and Zil Basaruba. Must be we follow the Rav and Rav animals are Ksheiros and therefore we could eat meat. Am Rav Ashi Amisul Shmaisa. Kameid Rav Kahana, he was saying over this, teaching in the name in front of Rav Kahana. Vamila Rav Kahana, Kameid Rav Simi. There are those that say Rav Kahana was saying in front of Simi. Yomogavad Dilma, Hekhada Efshah, Hekhada Efshah, Efshah. Maybe we can rely on Rav. But wherever, we can check it out. We should check it out. The Eloi Tema Haki, if you're not going to say this, or a mayor, the Chash Lamiyut, according to a mayor who never follows Rav. He always is Chash Lamiyut, Haki Nami, the Lachal Bissur. Did a mayor not eat meat? So Taisa says, it sounds like from here we don't pass like Rav Meir, because the mayor said, well, what did Rav Meir do? Not what do we do? We don't pass like Rameir. Rameir was chayshus lemiuta. He wouldn't follow the rive because he was always afraid for the minority. So according to Rameir, did he never eat meat? So v'chitayim. So must be where it's possible to check it out. Rameir went demanded he check it out. Where it's not possible to check it out, you can't check it out. V'chitayim ha'chinami. Pesach v'kodesh ma'ikum me'mar. No, maybe Rameir didn't eat meat taka. He was a vegetarian. Look, if Shefa doesn't drink milk, Rameir didn't eat meat. Who knows? You know. All he can have is kale, cucumbers. Like the guy was eating in the treifa restaurant. Will always says, what can you eat in a treifa restaurant? Cucumbers, carrots. There's not much else. Cucumbers, carrots, and diet soda. So what are you... So maybe they ate nothing. Rameir doesn't eat meat. Shechta doesn't drink milk. So maybe he didn't eat meat. V'chitema hakinami. 1 minute, he didn't eat meat. What about Pesach v'kodshim? What do you do carbon Pesach? If you're kodshish for every meal... So granted, you won't eat meat. You'll be a parish. But what are you going to do when it comes to carbon paste on bringing kodshim? Michael, man, hey, could the efshah? Where it's possible to check out the rive, you check out the rive. Where it's not possible, you don't have to check it out. Hakanami, hey, could the efshah? Hey, could the loy efshah? We follow the rive. If you can, if you can't, of course, we should, even when it is a roiv, we should check it out. If you can check it out, we could follow the roiv. We already quoted in the name of the Ramban. That was the Ramban I asked you to see. The Ramban says if it's a miyat hamatzoi, a significant minority, you have to check it out. If it's less than a significant minority, even Rameir wouldn't be chayshish lemiyuta. Rameir wouldn't have even been concerned, and therefore we don't even have to check it out, which is less than 10%, the way we paskin. So if it happens less than 10% of the time, you don't have to check it out. If it happens more than 10%, we could still rely on the roiv, but you should check it out. If you didn't check it out, you could still eat it. We have a roiv in the end of the day, you have a roiv. Right, so let's say you have some vegetables which have bugs. Okay, you should check it out. If it has, if you didn't, you can probably, unless it's totally infested, you could rely on the roiv, and you can probably eat it anyway. But we should check it. If it's possible to check it, you should check it. So where there's a meat amatzoi, we check. No meat amatzoi, because it's not a significant minority, you could rely on the roiv. Why do we check it out? Isn't there a roiv? And when there's a significant minority, yes, but hekad the efshar, hekad the loy efshar, where it's possible to check it out, we should check it out. We don't pass like Rameir, who is chayshish lemiyuta, who didn't follow the roiv. When it was a miyut, we do follow the roiv. But getting back, let's go back to the Gemara. So a few interesting things happened over here. First of all, we said a treifa. If you kill a treifa, you're not chayv misa. That's true, right? So that's why the Gemara said, how could we ever put anybody to death for killing somebody else? We have to be chayshish, he's a treifa. So that's true. That's based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. You don't need me to tell you, right? The Gemara says it, of course, it's true, but it's based on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Amar Rava Hakomo, Din Behori Gesa Treifa Shu Potter. If you kill a treifa, you're potter. Where does that come from? Why are you potter? Why are you potter? So if Shechta claims in the Bikvei Atzon, that was the piece I asked you to see, that is based on a Rambam in Hilchas Gneva on the Posek and Parashas Mishpatim. Posek says in Parashas Mishpatim, Haboba Machteres. Anyone know what a Boba Machteres is? What is it?
A
guy who comes in the dark, in the hidden, or he comes to steal. But a person comes to steal, like an armed robber, we have to be afraid that he's going to kill somebody if they get in his way. He's really coming just to steal, though. But we have to be afraid. If you get in his way, he'll kill you. So he's considered to be a roidev. Even though he's not really a murderer, he's not coming to murder, right? But he's coming to steal, but an armed robber, you have to be afraid he could kill you. So can you shoot the armed, let's say the bank robber, he comes with a gun. He really just wants the money. But is he a roidev? He just wants money. Yeah, he is a roidev. Because if he's armed, you never know. He might kill you if you get in his way. So Abba Machteres, the pasuk says in Parashas Mishpatim, if you kill him, Eimoy Domin. You're not Chayv Misa. He's a roidev. You're allowed to kill him. What if someone else kills him? Someone else, a murderer, let's say, such a mazel, a guy's robbing a bank, an armed robber. A murderer happens to walk in who's on a rampage, a hate crime, and he happens to kill the bank robber. A public service, that wasn't what he was intending. He was not in any danger. He ran in. He wasn't endangering the bank. He ran in and happened to kill this guy. He was looking for someone to kill, and he happened to take out the guy with the gun. He didn't recognize him as the bank robber. Is he Chai Misa? He wasn't in danger in the first place. Says the Rambam, though. Hababa Machteres Ben Beyon Ben Belaira Inlo Domin. Pasuk says you can kill him. Elim Hargo, Balabayas, Oshar, Adam Peturin. Even if someone else comes and kills him, he's Potter. Anybody can kill him, not only the people in danger. Anybody can kill him. So not only do I have the right to save myself, not only, you know, does the person who's in danger have the right to kill him, no one's Chayav Misa for this individual. Because since some people can kill him, he's like a Gafer Katila. So ain't lo damim. So not only do the people have the right to save themselves, a third party can kill him too. So you see, when one person, meaning when a person can't live because someone else has the right to kill him, other people who kill him ain't lo damim. They're not considered to be a roitzeach, they're not put to death either. So you see, ain't lo damim really has two implications. The first is that the people have the right to save themselves. The second is that since the people have the right to save themselves and he can be put to death, if someone else kills him, well, let's say a guy's a Ratzeach, but Shoigig, he's supposed to stay in the Ir Miklat. If he leaves the Ir Miklat, the Pasuk says that the Goyal Hadam can kill him. Let's say someone else kills him. So again, same halacha, since someone can kill him, he's a Gavra Katila, he's like a dead man walking. So if a third party kills him also, so then he's not Chayav Misa. So that's halacha with the Trefa. The Trefa, as we said, can't live past 12 months. So if he can't live past 12 months, he's a dead man walking. Where do you get this concept of dead man walking from? Baba Machteres. If someone kills the guy who's Baba Machteres, not only the people who are in danger, even a third party can kill him, so too, if someone else kills the treifa, he's not Chayav Misa either. Ein lo damim has these two implications.
Okay, so but he's not. You're not chayv misa if you kill the treifa. Who potter? Does that mean it's mutter? Is this guy not a live person? Is his marriage a marriage? Can he down for an amud? You know, can he get an aliyah? Everyone wants to know. Can he get shlishi? So Moshe writes in Igros, Moshe v'chein boruj l'kol isuri v'chili atara havi treifa kol isholim. Of course, he's a regular guy. Put on tefillin. His wife is an ashes ish. It's another man that have a relation to her. She was put to death. He's alive. He's alive. He's a person. Just, you're not chayiv misa if you kill him. Special xeris hakosav, ein lo damim. He's alive, l'chol devarov. He's alive. Someone can kill him, so therefore there's no chayiv misa if you kill him. Someone else preempts it. So this guy is a dead man walking. He's going to die within 12 months. If someone else kills him, you're not chayiv misa. Does that mean it's, you know, it's mutter to kill him? No, it's not mutter to kill him. Is it an Issa Ritzicha if you kill him? You say, Rabbi, what are you splitting hairs for? It makes a huge difference. Huge. I'll tell you, show you in a second. Is it Ritzicha if you kill him just there's no Chiyuv Misa? Or is it not even Ritzicha? So Biskarov has a piece, the first piece in Hilchos Ritzeach, which is on the Maamar Kamis, brings from the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to distinguish at the end, the beginning of Perek Beis of Hilchos Ritzeach between two categories of Ritzicha. One for which you are Chayiv Misas Beis, and the other for which you are not Chayiv Misas Beis. Says the Rambam, Ko Horek Chavero Biyodo. Let's say a person kills someone else with his hands. Kigoyin Shahargo Besaifa Be'evin Hamemisa. He takes a weapon and he kills him. O Shechan Chad Shemes, he strangles him. O Sarfa Be'esh, he burns him. Ho Vahargo Mikomakam Hu Ba'atmo Harez and Nerek Be'beis, and he's put to death. About Hatsoicher Hoyreg Laragis Chavero, a guy hires a hitman. Osha Sholokavoda Vahargo, he sends a servant to kill him. Osha Kavis Chavero Venikuf Neari, I tie him up and I put him in front of a lion. I didn't kill him. The lion killed him. Vachayotse Boba Rogto Hakaya, the Kena Hurigis Asma, someone who kills himself. Ko Ekame Eu Shevig Damimhu, they are spilling the blood of others. Vahavan Hariga Biyodroi, it is Ritzicha. V'chayim Misa l'shamayim. V'chayim Misa to Shamayim, but ain bohen Misas Beisdin. So the Rambam says it is Ritzicha, but there's no Misas Beisdin. So he distinguishes between two categories of Ritzicha. That for which you can receive capital punishment, the death penalty, and that for which you cannot receive capital punishment, the death penalty. Minayin shekeinu adin. How do I know there's two categories, says the Rambam? If I take someone else's life, his life should be put to death. If I kill someone myself. But then, right, I think before that, the Pesuk in Parshas Noach is Ach Esdimcha Munaf Shoseichem Edrosh. Your blood, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will seek from you if you take your own life. But the Rambam derives from here a larger category. Esdimcha Munaf Shoseichem Edrosh, Zeha Harig Atzmoi. I kill himself. Miyad kochaya edroshenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu will seek justice. Zeh ha-moysa chaveru. Gufnei chayu utarfot. A guy who puts his friend in front of an animal, the animal kills him. Miyad ha-odam, miyad ish okiv. Or a person who gives someone else, hires a hitman to kill him. Edrosh es nefesh ha-odam. A Kadosh Baruch Hu will seek justice. Zeh ha-soich ha-cherem la-rogetz chaveru. Beferish nemar. B'shloshtun loshun drisha. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu will seek it out. Harei dino mosa l'shamayim. Okay? The Rambam here tells us there's two categories of Ritzicha. One for which you're Chayiv Misa, if you kill the person yourself. One for which you are not Chayiv Misa's Beis Din, but it is Ritzicha nonetheless. And that's if you didn't kill him with your own hands. All of these are Ritzchim for which there's no Misa's Beis Din. Okay, the king has the right to kill them if he wants, because it's bad for society, right? Hiring hitmen. If we know you're not going to be put to death, could lead to a rampage of hiring hitmen. So therefore, sometimes we have to make laws against them. We have the right to kill someone who hires a hitman as a temporary measure. In this context, says the Rambam, over here, three lines in the bottom, Moshe Daud, a hoiregas a treifa, a person who kills a treifa. Afal pisha oichel v'shoisev v'mahalik v'shuk, even though he's walking around and eating and drinking in the pub, hareza potam yidirei odam, he's not chayiv misas beis din. If we don't know otherwise, we follow the Rav and we assume he is a Sholem. Until we know for certainty that the person is a Treifa. Okay, fine. So in this context, brings around the welcome Treifa. What does that imply? Is Treifa like killing a Treifa? Is like wearing shatness? Or killing a Treifa is like killing another person just as no Mises Bezin, for whatever reason? It's like hiring a hitman. What would you say? He doesn't bring it. It sounds like it's a lot worse than wearing shatnez. It's certainly also, right? No misas beis din. I don't think anyone will say killing a treifa is permitted. The guy's a regular guy. I mean, he's alive. Can't kill him. No misas beis din, because he's going to die anyway and within 12 months. Anybody who's going to die anyway, someone else could kill him. We said Emo Damin from the Baba Mafteris, a third party can kill him, and there won't be misas beis din, not mutter. But the Rambam brings it after he just outlined all these two distinctions between two types of ritzicha, that for which you're chayv mitzvah beis din, that for which you're not chayv mitzvah beis din, but it's ritzicha on the glass. I tie you up and I put you in front of a lion, or I tie you up and a hitman comes and kills you. It's a ritzeach, so too, this says the Rambam. In that context, if you kill a treifa, you also a ritzeach. Or the Rambam says, Yisrael shahari ger toshav, enu nera gova beis din. There's no mitzvah beis din for killing a ger toshav, because the pasuk says, v'kiyazad yishas re'ehu, laharga ba'arma, if you kill your friend. Your friend, Re'ehu, but not a Ger Taishav. Does that mean it's a regular Iser in the Torah, or it's Ritzicha? No. Says the Briska Rav, you see from here, it's Ritzicha. What do you have to say?
Would this idea of a treifa fall under a sister suicide?
How so?
Because in a way you could make the argument, if the doctor's the one that gives him the pill, that he's
suicide. That's called suicide. Ah, what is my liability as a physician?
Yeah.
I give it to him. He knowingly puts it in his mouth. I didn't put it in his mouth for him.
Shouldn't that be the same case as putting someone?
No, I'm a sayeo. I'm not, or I'm listening evil. I see the mishol. If he can't find someone else to do it, but I'm not the one who's bringing it right. If I type a guy and put him in a lion's cage and he doesn't want to be there, that's a lot different than handing him a pill that he takes knowingly. Those are two very different things. This is suicide, but I'm assisting, so that's the question. Yeah.
For the tying him up and then putting him alive, isn't that like when you light your field on fire and then it goes to the next field?
No, that's causative. This is direct. I tie you up, I put a guy in the lion's den. That's direct. I directly killed you. If I ride a fire over here and then a wind comes and the wind happens to blow it over there, I'm reckless. You're not, I didn't intend for this to happen. I didn't set it off a course of events, that I knew inevitably would burn down your house, If I did that, yeah, then it's the same thing. But that might even be worse. That's like firing a gun. Firing a gun is not the same as putting a guy in a lion's den. Putting a guy in a lion's den, the lion killed him. Firing a gun, I kill him. I kill them, right. Well, why is it different than a knife that's in my hand? It's really no different. I mean, this is the gun debate, but in halacha, you kill them. I don't know what that means for, buying handguns and assault rifles, but in halacha, you kill them. Guns don't do anything. It's people do things. So the, getting back. So you see, there's two types of ritzicha. What is treifa? Treifa is ritzicha. There's no misas beis din. That's what it sounds like from here. Sefer, what do you say about the following case, Chevra? Guy is brain dead. Majority of Paiskim assume, or by Tendler notwithstanding, that brain death is not death. General society disagrees. In halacha, though, brain death is not death. Maybe it's a suffix, certainly not vadai brain death. This creates significant problems. Why? Well, first of all, you could have patients on life-sustaining machines for a long time, which costs a lot of money. But also, it prevents Jews typically from being organ donors. Live organ donation, like kidneys, of course, a Jew can participate. But from being a organ donor after death, is problematic. Why? Because organs cannot be harvested the minute the body dies. The minute the body dies, it goes into rigor mortis, and you can't harvest the organs anymore. They start to decompose right away. You can only really take organs from a body that the blood is still flowing. So that's why the best candidates, obviously always tragic circumstances, but the best candidates for organ donations are those who are brain dead, but otherwise, healthy people. So, because then the organs are sustained by the body, even though the person is considered to be brain dead. So that's came out, the whole industry of organ donation is based on brain death. That's why the brain death debate is a huge deal. Because all of organ donation is based on brain death. So it's a hoax. The halachic organ donor society is predicated upon the assumption that brain death is death. That's why almost none of the poskim here in yeshiva, even though they have wonderfully long lists of people who support it, You won't find any of the Rosh Yeshiva from why you on there. It's not because they didn't ask. It's because in order to be there, you have to subscribe to Brain Death, which none of the classical poskim that you're familiar with subscribe to the notion of Brain Death. So that's why, look, it creates a significant problem for us, because Jews are organ recipients, but not organ donors. And the hospitals are aware of this. Rabbi Neuberger told me that he was in a hospital for a person in his shul was receiving an organ. And typically when there's an organ donation, everyone runs. In hospitals, you know, they typically walk. When there's an organ that's being transplanted, everyone's running. Because time, the organ, it cannot be out of a body too long, otherwise it starts to become not viable. So people move. You see them on the highway sometimes, the organ vehicles. It's actually a Frum guy, I think, is the biggest guy in this, the organ transportation, its own business of its own right. But anyway, they move. All of a sudden, he saw he was at this guy. They're walking, you know, they're going, they're not running. So he said, why? He noticed the difference. He said, look, the Frum Jews, they accept, but they don't donate. They know that. So they, look, it impacts us significantly. But that's, anyway, that's the reality of the situation. But what about the following situation? Let's say I have one person who's, let's say he's brain dead. But we don't assume brain death is death for most poskim. But he's a trefa, right? He has some severe injury. He's not going to be able to live past 12 months. No way. So he's a trefa. You chayv mises bezin if you kill him? No. So why can't we kill him in order to save somebody else? Let's take his heart out. We'll kill him. Right. We're speaking, passionately about, not empathetically about it, because we're not discussing the people involved. Let's talk about it in theory. Let's kill this guy in order to save somebody else who needs the heart. Can you violate an Easter in the Torah to save somebody else? Can you wear shatnez? Can you violate Shabbos to save somebody's life? Of course. So why can't we kill the trefa in order to save somebody else? Because the answer is there's three Yisurim in the Torah that you cannot violate to kill somebody else, to save somebody's life. What are those? Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shvichos Damim, Ritzicha. Well, is this Ritzicha or not? If killing a trefa, there's no Mises Beis Din, maybe we should say, whoa, no Mises Beis Din, it's not Ritzicha, it's some other Yisur in the Torah. I don't know what it is, but it's not Ritzicha. It's Achas Dimcha, Melanav Shoseich HaMedrash, but it's not Ritzicha. So maybe we could kill the trefa in order to kill, to save the person who needs the heart. Ooh. So that was a suggestion someone made to the Knight of Yehuda. And the Knight of Yehuda rejects it out of hand. And all the subsequent poskim, most subsequent poskim, except the Knight of Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Yashiv, others disagree. But Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Yashiv all agree that, no, you can't do this. Because killing a trefa is ritzicha. Others disagree. No, they said, what are you talking about? Killing a trefa is mises bezin. It's not ritzicha. So you can violate killing a trefa in order to save somebody else's life. Even though in deicha nefesh mipnei nefesh, that's when there's ritzicha involved. And then Rabbi Yehuda is not having any of it. And either Shlomo Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv, because killing a trefa is ritzicha. It's ritzicha. There's no mises bezin. The Rambam outlined for us two categories of ritzicha. Some of there's mises bezin, some of there's no mises bezin. So this is not Ritzicha, the character of the Mises Bezin, but it is Ritzicha nonetheless, and you can't do it. Even in order to save somebody else's, life. That's why that seems to be the answer. The Brisker Rav has this whole shtickle over there, in Perek Av, Hilchas Ritzicha, Ochi Yud Gimel, to explain our difficult Rambam. The Rambam says over here, Ois Hei, Ko Hayokol HaHatzil Be'Ever Me'Varav, let's say the Nirdav can save himself by shooting the right in the leg. Well, Tarak Bakach, he didn't do that. He shot center mass. Okay, I think the police officers are taught. Well, Tarak Bakach, because if you miss the leg, you could get shot, right? It's a little dangerous. But let's say I know, I can hit him in the leg and not shoot him. Well, Tarak Bakach, El Hitzil Benavshul Shoroidev. He kills the Roidev in order to save himself. Harogo, Harez Shefik Lamim. You didn't have to kill him. So then you're a Shefik Lamim. You did the wrong thing. You didn't have to kill the Roidev. You could have saved yourself by Echam Eivarv. You have no license to kill the Roidev then. V'chai Misa. In fact, you're Chai Misa under that situation. About Ein Beis Ma Misa Noisari. There's no Misa's Beis. Says the tour. That goes, my minister, quotes from the tour. If there's a chiyuv misa, why doesn't Beis Din put you to death? The answer is, says the Mishnah for the Rambam, there's two categories. There's some Ritzicha where there is misas Beis Din. There's some Ritzicha where there's no misas Beis Din. The Rambam felt this falls into the category of Ritzicha, but no misas Beis Din. Maybe the Torah meant to say, why isn't it in the other category? But Lamaisa is, for the Rambam, there are these two categories, and one included in that category is killing a treifa. So therefore, even if the doctors say he can't live 12 months, doesn't mean you could kill him to take his organs. That's a chas v'shalom. What is considered to be a treifa, though? Person who can't live 12 months. So Chazal had halacha l'moshe misinai with regards to animals, that there's 18 treifas, and those same 18 treifas apply to human beings, too. But look over here, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. This is a famous stira in the Rambam. Ois vav, says the Rambam. Everything is famous if you know about it, right? If you don't know about it, it's not famous. Okay, but those who know, know. This Rambam over here in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shechita, Rochid Gimel, says the following. V'chein eilu shamanu ve'amru, shein treifa. If Chazal say it's a treifa, all treifa to halacha l'moshe misinai. Ava pi sheyir b'darkei refuah shebiyadeinu shemiktsasen einu mamisin. Why are these things labeled as a treifa? Because they assumed you died within 12 months. What if the doctors say, no, nowadays we could treat this treifa through a surgery, the horse will be able to live, the cow will be able to live. Tzalan giyarin will be able to live, biz 120 is he still a treifa? Should be a Danish mikzasin in my mitzvah be'efshu shetichya mehen. So ein lecha elamash shemanu chachamim shenema al pi atoyre isha yorucha. No doctors. Don't listen to those doctors. Don't listen to the doctors. It's a treifa. Chazal said it's a treifa. It's a treifa. No doctors. It's the Rambam Perek Yud of Hilchos Shechita, Rav Yud Gimel. Striking. The Rambam was a doctor. Right. Let's put this in context. It's not like the Rambam had suspicions of the entire medical community. He himself was a doctor. Okay, the Rambam here says we don't trust the doctors, or the doctors don't matter. Whatever Chazal said, Chazal said. But look at the Rambam. Perek Beis Hilchos Shechita Seich Lachaches. Ha'hoyre gets a treifa. We just had it before. Avo pisha oichav v'shoyz mahalich b'shul kareiz she part midinei adam. If you kill me, part midinei adam. But everyone is assumed to be a shalim until we know otherwise. It is a treifa, and if you kill him, we'll assume that you kill the shalim, we'll put you to death. If we know he's a treifa, then he's a treifa. But says the Rambam adds something else, and the doctors say he can't live. This guy's going to die. Meaning, in order to be a treifa, to exempt the person who kills him from Isa's basin, it must be, you need a doctor's note. He's a treifa, and the doctors sign off, he can't live past 12 months. What if the doctors say he can't live past 12 months, despite his physiological deficiencies? Doesn't matter. He's not, he's not a treifa. He's only a treifa if he has this deficiency, and the doctors say he can't live 12 months. All of a sudden, the Rambam needs the doctor's note. By the animals, the Rambam said, no doctors, don't give me doctors. Whatever Chazal said, Chazal said. If it's a treifa, it's a treifa. If it's not a treifa, it's not a treifa. I don't care that he can live 12 months based on the doctors. All of a sudden, when it comes to Ritzeach and saving a guy's life and killing the murderer, the Rambam says, if you want to exempt the murderer, he better be a treifa, and the doctors better agree that he can't live past 12 months. Why all of a sudden is he evoking the doctors? Heavy, yeah? People love it because it's a question of how much should we rely on the doctors. So Reb Chaim Oizer has an Achiezer, what is the classical teretz, or Moshe has this also. Same idea. And that is the following. Where was this halacha l'moshe misinai articulated? By human beings or by animals? Animals. So by animals is halacha l'moshe misinai. When we are dealing with the actual halacha l'moshe misinai, doctors and changes don't matter. You can't change things based on halacha l'moshe, even when it's a given halacha l'moshe misinai. These are treifas. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. But we extrapolated from the animals to human beings. What's a treifa? That's not where the halacha l'moshe misinai was originally articulated. It was articulated with regards to animals. So when it comes to animals, we don't care what the doctors say. This is a halacha l'moshe misinai and does not change. But when we're going to extrapolate from there to another situation, now all of a sudden it matters what the doctors say. Because we only extrapolate if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we're not going to extrapolate. So therefore, if these 18 things actually cause the person to die within 12 months, he'll be a treifa. If not, if the doctors say it doesn't, then he won't be a treifa. he won't be a treifa. Moshul ma davadayma. How long do you have to wait for pinyan aben?
30 days.
30 days. How do you know? It's a pasuk. Pasuk in the Torah. What parsha? Kairach, I think. You have to wait 30 days. Why do you have to wait 30 days, Avrami?
To make sure the baby actually was.
To make sure he is not a
nafel.
What if I know the baby's not a nafel? I know the baby's not a premature. He's a doctor. The doctor's note says he's not a nafel. You have to wait 30 days. Yes, of course. It's exeris hakosa. You have to wait 30 days. Ibchar mi ben chaydesh tifta. You have to wait 30 days. What about if a baby is born in the 8th month? Or a baby is born premature? Do we know if the baby right now, you know, no. So then we're going to apply the same standard. Let's say, we're not sure if the baby's really an AFL, not really an AFL. Oh, so then it matters. Let's say, Chazal said that a baby born in the 8th month is an AFL. We mentioned this, didn't we? A baby born in the 8th month, we mentioned this this year? A baby born in the 8th month for sure couldn't live. Yeah, we said there's 7-month pregnancies and 9-month pregnancies. 8-month baby sure, for sure couldn't live. Chazanish says, no, nowadays a baby born in the 8th month can live. I thought Chazal said an eightfold, born in the 8th month can't live. The answer is, no, these are all derived from Pinyan Ben. So we derive, you need 30 days to make sure he's not an eightfold. So if he's born in the 8th month, you need 30 days to show me that he's not an eightfold. But if the doctors all say he's an eightfold, then he's not an eightfold. I'm sorry, he's not an eightfold, then he's not an eightfold. We can be Machal Shabbos for him. Why? All of a sudden now it depends on the doctors. The answer is where the halacha is originally articulated, you can't change it based on what the doctors say. So Pinyan Ben needs 30 days, Xeris HaKosov. When we're extrapolating from Pinyan Ben that I need sometimes a period of time to wait to see if the baby lives in order to determine that it's not an AFL, that's only when we're extrapolating from the original location to somewhere else. Oh, you want to say an 8-month baby is not an AFL. There's no pasuk like that. That was their experience. But if the doctor says it's not true anymore, the doctor says it's not true anymore. So Soto over here with regards to the treifas, where was originally articulated? So then we don't distinguish. Where we're deriving out one from the other, then we would distinguish. Then we would distinguish. Okay, that's the story of killing a treifa. What else happened in this Gemara? Something fascinating. Autopsies. Oh my gosh. Right under our noses. An autopsy happened. Chazal said, whoa, we're not sure if the guy's a treifa. We have to rely on Roiv to assume that he's not a treifa, and therefore we can kill a murderer who kills him. Well, maybe let's do an autopsy and see if he's a treifa. The Gemara said the autopsy will be inconclusive because you really can't prove, even if you don't find the treifa, that he wasn't a treifa. Maybe the treifa happened where the wound happened. So the Gemara says we can do an autopsy. The Gemara says, really? You can do an autopsy? Aren't there Yisurim involved in an autopsy? What's the Yisur? The Haninvale. What's that Yisur? That's the Yisur of Nivoames, which is similar to the Yisur of Halona Sameis, all based on the same pasuk. The pasuk says, quoted over here in Masechta Sanhedrin, Lo Solin Nivlaso Al Eitz, Ki Kabar Tik Berenu Bayam Mehu. When a person is killed, Mises Bezen, don't leave him hanging on the tree to the next day. You should bury him on that day. So why shouldn't you leave him hanging on the tree? Ki Kilas Elikim Toloi, because a man is created, but Selim Elikim, so it's embarrassing for the Ribbono Shel Olam to have a man hanging on a tree for over a day. So therefore, there's Nivo HaMeis. It's embarrassing for the Meis, which is really an embarrassment by extension to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because human beings are created B'Tzelem Elokim. Then we have a mitzvah, Ki Kabar Tik Barenu, by Yom Ahu. You should bury him on that day. Okay, so we have two Isurim here. One Isur is Lo Sullen, the other Isur is Nivo HaMeis, both derived from this pasuk. So these are two Isurim involved in doing autopsies. Yeah? Halonis Hameis, Nivo Hameis. Is that it? That's all we got? So that's what the Noi de Behuda, when he was discussing the Isur of doing autopsies, he mentions these two. That's all he has. That's what the Gemara says. Haninvoe. Sam Sefer says, no, there's another Isur involved in doing an autopsy. That is Hanomin Hameis. The Gemara says, Mesach Tesavai Dezara. That Vatamas Shem Miriam. Miriam died there, passing in Parashas Kukas. But the passage says also, I think by Kiseitze, Parashas Shaftim. But Arfu Sham is Egla Benocha by Egla Rufa. Pasuk says Sham by Egla Rufa says Vatamas Sham Miriam, and Miriam died there. So Gemara derives Xerah Shava Sham Egla Rufa, just like Egla Rufa. After you kill the Egla Rufa, it's Asabana. So to the mace, after he dies, it's Asabana. When you do an autopsy, why do you do autopsies? People do autopsies. Why do they do autopsies? To learn something. That's Hanam in a mace. You're benefiting from the mace.
three Isurim says a Chassam Sofer. I have two. Nivul HaMeis, Halanas HaMeis. I'm embarrassing. You know, I'm distorting the mace. I'm embarrassing. It's like no worse than the mace hanging on the tree. That's embarrassing for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Number two, because he's created to tell me, okay. Number two, Halanas HaMeis. You're supposed to bury the mace as quickly as possible unless there's covered HaMeis involved, right? If a relative is flying in from the Timbuktu, you can wait for the relative to come in because it's a covered for the mace to have more people there. But generally speaking, we bury right away. And Yerushalayim, they bury that night, in the middle of the night. We don't bury at night in America typically, because the grave diggers don't work at night. That's the only reason. We're not like heebie-jeebie people. We don't believe in like ghosts and stuff in Pesach Forest. You can go at night. It's not like a scary place, it's just dark. So you can go at night to Pesach Forest, but most Pesach Forests are closed in America at night because the grave diggers have a union. Chassidim bury at night in the United States because they don't use the grave diggers union. They have their own grave diggers. Ah, so then... So Chassidim will bury at night in the United States. Typically not. Yeah, what do you want to say?
For the Chassam Sofer, would you be able to donate organs? Because you can announce
a mace even. Of course, to save someone else's life. So this is a regular Yisur in the Torah. This is not Ritzicha. This is okay. So autopsy, the Gemara says there are Yisurim involved. Nivu HaMeis, Halonis HaMeis, Yisur HaNoam HaMeis. To save someone's life, we'll do it. If you're saving someone's life, for sure you could do an autopsy.
I know, saying people would probably say it indirectly. You're learning.
So. We'll have to get to a second. Right now, yeah.
Would flying the body at the be considered covenant?
Yeah. If that's what the guy wanted, yeah. Some people hold. What are you coming and burying your mason in Eretz Yisrael? You're ruining the economy of Eretz Yisrael because you can't move. There's cemeteries everywhere. So maybe it's okay. But we could discuss that issue, complicated issue. But yes, generally speaking, covered a mace. Yeah. Okay. So there's three yisurim involved in performing an autopsy. Number one, nivu a mace, halonis a mace, hanam in a mace. All of these things are involved. However, the Nevi Yehuda says, of course, over here, Ois Yudzayin, that's only presuming that there's no sakonis nefoshes. If there is a sakonis nefashis here, we're going to save someone's life. Or even if it's just for monetary reasons. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, you can perform an autopsy in order to save someone money. But certainly if you're going to save someone's life, you can do an autopsy. The problem is they always claim that an autopsy is going to save someone's life. How so? Well, a doctor needs to learn, you know. We need to, you know. Sometimes it's pro forma, like it's just, prophylactic. We just do it as a matter of policy. They do an autopsy. So another Yehuda says that you can't do because they were doing this in Europe already. They were making autopsies just part of the procedure. Another Yehuda was opposed to that. He says, "V'omnim kolze b'yesh." Look over here, Oisidzaim. B'yesh sakonis nefashos afaneinu kigon chaylo nefilas gal. I say this is the most important concept that the Achronim have with regards to pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, and that is that it has to be a chayla b'faneinu. You need a chayla in front of you. In order to be mekel for pikuach nefesh, let's say a doctor says, "I want to learn medicine, but I have to be mechal Shabbos to learn medicine." Oh, but why? Resident in any non-shomer Shabbos residency is going to have to be mechal Shabbos to learn medicine, and he's not really saving so many people when he's in medical school. So how can you go to medical school? Aren't you being violating Shabbos? If Shecht always likes to say, if they would ask me to work on Shabbos, I'd have to say no. Why does the doctor think he's any different than me that he can work on Shabbos even though I can't? So the answer is they say, well, I'm saving lives. No, but you're really not saving lives now. You might save lives later on in the future. But you're not saving lives now. So Rav Moshe writes in the Gemara Moshe, then you don't have a heter b'kuach nefesh yet. You'll have a heter b'kuach nefesh when you become a doctor. You don't have a heter b'kuach nefesh now to learn medicine. What's the heter? And you need a chayla b'faneinu. You need a chayla in front of you now. That is the principle that's developed by the Nevi Yehuda. Some sefer is the same thing. V'chayim v'sech l'skul and sham. Oyes Yitzayin over here in the Nevi Yehuda. Gabi roitzeach ha'pikuach nefesh l'faneinu. You're going to save the guy who's standing in front of you. V'chayim afil in your mom. And you want it to, fine, there's a monetary concern. You could also do an autopsy. Afo b'dinidon didon ain't come shum chayla. There's no chayla over here where they were making it a policy to do an autopsy in everybody. Maybe we'll learn something that will derive something, you know, from here that will help us later on in the future. That's not good enough. Because if you're going to be making with this, you're going to be making on everybody. He said, everything will be bunter because you never know what might happen.
Uh-huh.
So you'll say no, yeah.
So So you're not allowed to do autopsies on like if it's a trial or a case, you want
to
know.
If there's money involved, or if there's a murderer out here, maybe we need to save murder. Somebody else.
So if you want to know whether it was a murder or a suicide.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But we're really not into autopsies. Let's say we want to know if the guy killed himself or he died of natural causes. That would not be a good enough reason to do an autopsy. What difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be some imminent concern. Yeah.
Sure,
but he says over here, but Khalilah Lahata Yeah, what do you want to say?
Isn't there
lachic
ramifications if someone killed themselves, like regarding the ambulance or something like that?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Most people who do it because they're not well. Rarely you have a guy who says, Mosi Mechai, you know, this world is a world of Shekhar V'chazav. I'd rather live in the Olam HaEmes. And he makes a philosophical decision to take his own life because he believes that the other, you know, Tovo Adam Shalom Nivra Yosim Yishan Nivra. It's usually a product of severe depression and mental illness. In which case, the person wasn't, he's no different than anybody who's ill. Rarely, it's, for some reason, it's a source of shame in the community, but we rarely differentiate between the two. Yeah.
Can you do an autopsy to figure out someone committed
suicide versus
was killed?
Just saying. Yeah, I think so, right? Otherwise, how will we ever catch murderers? I mean, a lot of it's based on forensic evidence. Yeah. Sometimes you have to. But each case has to be judged separately. You know, there was a huge autopsy scandal in Eretz Yisrael. For some reason, we don't talk about it a lot. We have to be honest about Eretz Yisrael. You got to be honest about the history. We did shave off the payas of the people, the Jews who came from Ethiopia. That happened, you know. I didn't do it. You didn't do it, but it happened. And they did. There was a huge autopsy scandal because the Rabbanim were against the autopsies. Rabban Uda Rashid said, of course, there are certain circumstances where it can be allowed, and then it just got out of hand. And they were running bodies around and doing autopsies, and the bodies disappeared. It was a terrible scandal. Nah, I think things are a little bit better now, but it was a terrible issue. So over here in the Nishmas Avram, that's Dr. Abraham, Abraham S. Abraham, who wrote the Bible of Medical Ethics and Halacha called the Nishmas Avram. So he quotes over here from Shlomo Zalman that you can say, well, there's a chayla in Argentina who might benefit from this autopsy, so therefore it's a chayla b'faneinu. No. I can call all over the world. You can't say that the whole world is called lefaneinu because I could call all over the world. It has to be something that's imminent right in front of you. And that's where Moshe writes over here. He says, really, why does it have to be a chol b'faneinu? I might save lives in the future. Why does it have to be a chol b'faneinu? But Moshe adopts it nonetheless. Maybe you'll help somebody in the future. Moshe says, if you're not going to do this, if you're going to do this, you're going to be, you know, the floodgates will be open. Everyone will be making on everything. So therefore, the holds, in order to do an autopsy, you need a chol b'faneinu in order to be making for pikuach nefesh. You need a chayla b'faneinu. Okay, doctor can't learn medicine because he might heal someone else in the future. Rabbi Gorin, I heard a similar thing from Rabbi Tendler. I used to think it was kitzoni. I used to think it was like kind of an extreme position. But recently, like the last few months, I think Rav Asher Weiss held something similar. And that is, they held, no, we need Jewish doctors. If we're not going to allow a Jew to violate Shabbos to learn medicine, we're not going to have any Jewish doctors. And that would be a terrible thing. Why? Why do we need a Jewish cardiologist? We need a Jewish nephrologist. We need Jewish, you know, neonatologist. Why? Why do we need Jews in every field? He argued we need Jews in every field. But I think what he's saying is something along the lines of Rosh Weiss said, which is if we need a chol b'faneinu in order to be meiko, how do we ever vision running a Jewish police force in the state of Israel? We hope a heira yibana mikdash, and we're going to have to run a halachic state in the state of Israel. How are we going to run a halachic state? We're going to have to wait before dispatching a police car on Shabbos for a chol b'faneinu? How are we going to run such a country? Can't run a country like that. Or you need a chayla b'faneinu to have a guy, an armed guard, standing at the border. I have to wait for the guy to come with the gun on the other side. Then say, okay, now it's chayla b'faneinu, now I can run out. We're not going to be able to run a country that way. So Rav Asher claims, it's a fantastic thought, and the way that Rav Asher thinks about his vision for the firm state in Eretz Yisrael, is that it must be that we have to adopt these halachas. They have to apply differently when we're the ones in charge, right? If we need Jewish doctors in the state of Israel, if we're not going to be able to do Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, for people to learn medicine, how are we ever going to run a state of Israel? All Goyish doctors?
doesn't make any sense. So we're gonna have to expand our vision of what considered it to be chayla b'faneinu, because even if, you know, over here a terrorist attack or someone crossing into the border and attacking Eretz Yisrael is remote, if we don't have guards around the whole Eretz Yisrael, it won't be a remote circumstance. It'll be something that is a chayla b'faneinu. So even if it's not chayla b'faneinu here, if we don't install this protocol, it will be a chayla b'faneinu somewhere. So that's what Rav Asher said. He said, I'm convinced that if we're not mekel here, there'll be someone who will die at some point because of this policy. So maybe that is considered to be a chayla b'faneinu. So a similar svar they argued over here too. I don't know if in America and Woodmere we need, you know, another Jewish nephrologist. But at least in terms of Eretz Yisrael running around Medina, maybe there is something to think about that. But generally speaking, all tassis are only allowed if there's a chayla b'faneinu, like our Gemara, because of three isurim. Number one, nivul ames, halonas ames, and also because of hanamin ames. All right, I guess we'll have to continue tomorrow. Shkoyach for switching the schedule for me. Sorry, no.